Thank you, Tony, and I apologize to everyone else. I am still in recuperation mode from all the misfortunes of my early beginning to this year. And I do apologize. We didn't record that, but just to recap, we are moving back into the direction of explosion. Now, the A-bomb that was dropped was a horrible criminal act against humanity, or so it seems. But it was a mandate, a visible force, that we are entering the age of return to energy. And look at everything that's happened since then. We have expanded globally. The personal computer was built. The internet was launched. Travel to the moon. Set up satellites that signals can go around the planet. And from the satellite onto wireless signals and wireless instigations of energy all over the planet. We are moving back into the age of energy. We now have so many healing practices that are purely energetic. And we have been having our prayer calls, getting great response from that. And what is prayer but the activation of energy between yourself and God? There's nothing else there material. You, God, and energy. And amazing miracles have been happening, have been observed, simply from the act of prayer or meditation in many cases. Most of all, from love. Lately, I've been involved in certain types of community situations, shall we say, that involved human energy on many, many levels. And I could feel, I felt this all my life, but I mean, I could really feel this time the variations of energy moving up from people in desperate conditions to anger to just happy enthusiasm to people who were really, really above situations in life, being there for the care of others, making instant decisions of a completely positive nature. Well, Yeshua said, all these things you have seen me do, you shall do always, and you shall do all of them. But we're learning the subclause of that is when we're ready. When we're ready, we are doing more and more and more. And it's time we took a really big leap into the heart. That was our ending seminar for 2020, the end of one of the worst years we have had in this country, possibly in the history of the country. And returning, restoring the faithful heart is all about finding that love within you, which when activated changes all of the energy in the fields, the many different fields of your life, from biological to social to productive to spiritual. It changes all the fields. When we come from faith, let me tell you something. There's nothing material there. There's nothing. Nothing. And that's the hardest thing for us to grasp about faith. On the night before his crucifixion, Yeshua prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'll just paraphrase in modern language, like, Father, do I really, really have to do this? Is this really necessary? You know I've come here. I've surrendered to everything. I've done everything I was supposed to do. And God basically said back to him, but my son, you cannot implement the ultimate mode of faith from which all things are born without giving up everything. This is what every saint has discovered on his pathway to sainthood. This is what, now Buddha did not have to die, but he had to come as close as you can get to it without physically letting go. He tried everything. He let go of everything until he said, I need nothing. We read the book of Job, who was a godly man, a good father, husband, community servant, church man, and the dark forces of the universe challenged God. You know, if you really put it to him hard enough, he'd turn his back on you. And God said, no, he wouldn't. He wouldn't, because he understands faith. Well, everything started going wrong for Job. And I don't remember exactly how many years it took. It was several years it took for him to get to the prime realization. But in those years, he lost everything. He lost his family, his health. He came as close as he could to dying. Those whole years of his life were pretty much like the hours Yeshua spent in the Garden of Gethsemane. Like, Father, do I really have to give up at all? Well, Job didn't have to give up at all, but he got to the point where he was willing to. That's the key. Because he said, he finally got right down to the bottom and he said, oh God, I realized that if I have nothing, but I have you, I have everything. Everything. And so everything was returned to him. Everything was given back to him and more. Multiplied. And not just to him, but to his family, his community, everyone else who had been plagued and driven because of the oppressions placed upon Job. So, this is why I say this is the real birthday of Yeshua. And I fully believe that it also was his biological birthday. Because those who studied the scriptures very, very closely know that the only time of the year when census was given by the Jews to the Romans was at Passover. At Passover. Because everybody returned to their hometown. And for Joseph and Mary, well, that was Bethlehem. That's where Bethlehem figures in. And, oh, there's just so much more that we could say about the stars, the sheep, and the lambs in the pasture. Let me tell you, just because the far Middle East is close to Africa does not mean they don't have a cold winter. In fact, it's colder than most of the United States. It truly is, because there is nothing to break the wind from Siberia. And no, they don't have the deep snowfalls because it's a desert, arid area. But there's nothing to break the Arctic coming down, and it comes down. And there are no lambs in winter. There's so many things that say it was spring, it was turning spring. It was the Passover time. And of course, that's how Easter is figured every year. It's coordinated with Passover. With a they are two variations depending upon the mode of the moon at that particular season. So it's not exactly the same day all the time. There's a little variation, but they're both timed to the same event. So it would make sense to me that his biological birth and his immortal birth would be the alpha and the omega of his life and would complete his statement to the apostles, all these things I do, you shall do and more. You shall do and more. And we're coming closer and closer to the day when that can happen. And those of the early church, long before, it was called the Way. It wasn't called a church for about a century. It was called the Way. They knew what they were looking for. They knew what they had been given, and they were willing to die for it. They did not run when the soldiers rounded them up, even though they knew they would be thrown to the lions. And when the lions were released, they sang, because they knew what they were creating as a future for humanity. Now, last year, we saw an example of what we don't want for humanity. But we were also put to the cutting edge of we're going to have to care for one another, take care of each other, love one another, because what we are going to grow into will not be a personal event. It will be a humanitarian event. It will be a collective event. No matter how holy you are, and there are saints walking among us and angels walking among us, but no matter how holy you are, as an individual, you will get snagged by ego. And it could just be the ego of, I feel so good about serving. I feel so close to God. It could be just a benevolent ego, but you're still going to be snagged by it. What happens when you love one another, each as yourself, you move into the collective self, which destroys the ego. This is why he gave us the two last and greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your fellow man as yourself. So as we move closer and closer into a collective humanity, caring for one another, loving one another, being here for one another, creating benefits for one another, we're getting rid of the ego. We're there to where, as Job said, if I had only you, I would have everything. That is the same as love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Putting everything else aside and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that was the lesson. That was the gift of Easter. The gift of Easter is our rebirth future, our rebirth as children of God. We were created as children of God. We strayed a long, long, long ways away from being that in our everyday life, although I hope that occasionally, in your finest moments, you feel it. It's there. It's always been there. It's never been taken away. But we get tied up with the world, and we forget it. And Easter was our invitation to return. So, happy Easter, everybody. And that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And that's why we have the blessing. And I have a very special announcement to make. We are in the process of setting up our church with an expanded name. And it will be Spiritus Church of Christ's Blessing. Simply because our church was founded by Christ's Blessing, and it was brought into active formation by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So those are the two igniting forces of the church. The Holy Spirit and the blessings of Christ. We will be official soon, and I will let you know. It will be a big day of celebration in our community. So just watch for it. It might be a couple few weeks or even a few months, but it will be there. We're in the flow now. And I think that my Easter blessing has taken up enough time, because you are also the blessing. And we'd love to hear from you. I'd like to have your request for a blessing or your gratitude for having received one. And just remember that for every blessing you receive, it's not just for you. It's for everyone else as well. That's why we like to hear about them. Okay. I don't have anybody on our... Oh, yes, we do. All right. Jerome, you are on.
Light and love, peace and joy, and blessings on the Spiritus Church of Christ Blessing. And everything. So I'll just send you something in the mail, too, to help that. And but blessings on today, which is the best day of our spring, really. And for our you, for the church that you want, and for our country and for our world, for the highest that Yeshua has given us. And I just send you a fantastic blessing for everything you're going to do, and for my family and everybody else, too, in the world. So please keep up the work. I'll send you something in the mail. All
right. Oh, thank you, Jerome. Thank you so much. And just for being all that you are and the love that you are. You're one guy that never forgot. And even though the world gets complicated, and sometimes we don't get what we think we need, when we never forget that love is who we are, it eventually all comes true.
Yes, it does. Yes. Thank you for reminding me, and love to you and everything you're going to do now.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerome. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
And we're going to open the line to Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Linda.
Yes.
Can you?
Hi. I can hear you.
I am going to give you a big hug of gratitude, because today I was able to make a connection to the blessing number. For the past 5 weeks, I wasn't able to get in.
I know. I'm so sorry about that. And you know what? I called the company and they had no explanation. And I said, well, you know, we're going to change services if you don't make that connection work.
Well, whatever happened, it's a blessing, and I'm so glad to be back to getting your knowledge and your love, and I want to share with you, again, the gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome so much. Bye-bye, and happy Easter. Hello, Nancy and Gary. You're on.
Hello.
Mm.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Hello.
Happy Easter, everyone. Glenda, what a great message. You know, we woke up this morning, Gary, like we do on any of these sacred holy days, and we read from Love Without End or Keys of Yeshua, and we took some pieces from Recovering the Authentic Self, and then we bopped over to the Power of Peace, and then we got into Restoring the Temple and weaved everything together. And, you know, Glenda, if it wasn't for you in our lives, we really wouldn't have got what he meant and what he did. You know, he penetrated and he was able to get here and Sure.
Well, no.
But we are. So thank you. Thank you, Glenda.
You're so welcome. You know what? All that happened is he found a receiver.
Right, right. And, you know, and it's just so powerful and beautiful. And thank God it's here now so that, you know, our heart can resonate and the grace can, you know, radiate. And we could be in the world and not of it, you know. But
that's right.
I do have a special blessing I'd like to ask for Leo and Amy because they are moving to Colorado. And I just want I don't know, what grist to help them with their journey and all the things they'll face. But, you know, we're all supporting them as well, you know, and their love and who they are. And then CK, who's struggling right now with some physical challenges. But really, Glenda, it's really about, wow. I mean, what a day. You know, Easter is it. And it really is such a reminder about, you know, this is who we are. And the miracles are part of that other reality. And I just love that you spoke so beautifully to that, that we are, you know, living in those two, that paradox of this physical domain of story and stuff and the reality of the transcendent miracle, which is always possible.
What? I said I like that story and stuff.
We sure got all that going on, don't we? But what he says all through everything you've ever written and spoken, for me, it really does provide the peace, which makes everything seem like it's okay, like what you said about Job. If I have, you know, God there in my heart and that reality of knowing that and understanding that, everything just, I don't know, just shifts in a way that it's not troublesome, you know?
It does.
Thank you. I love you. I love everybody.
We love you, too. We love when you speak up because you have the cutest voice in the world.
You're so sweet. I love you. Thank you.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to say to you when you were talking about how much Love Without End and the other messages have changed your life. And it's not that I wanted to take away all credit from myself because I was a willing receiver and participant. But what I was going to say is that all he was looking for was a receiver. And I heard this, I said this once in a seminar, and somebody said, can I make a funny out of that? And I said, sure. I love to laugh. And he said, well, you know, this man, he called Netflix. He wanted to download some movies, and he could never get them. And Netflix said, well, what channel are you on? And he said, I don't know where the channels are. And the person said, well, go to your television. And he said, well, I don't have a television. And the Netflix person said, well, how do you expect to get a movie if you don't have a receiver?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So I wanted to expand on that thought by saying that all the blessings are out there. But until there's a willing receiver, they're not going to be activated. So your willingness to receive is actually rooted in your faith. And this goes for everybody, and it's biblical. Okay? Actually, most of what I teach in this, in all of our webinars is biblical, just turned into modern language. But after every miracle Yeshua performed, he said, you were made whole by your faith. You see, it's only in your faith that you can receive. It's only in your faith. I mean, your faith is your television set. And you can call Netflix all you want. If you don't have that television set, you're not going to get the movie.
Absolutely.
I'm giving it to you in very modern language, but that's the truth. Your faith is what attracts the miracle. It's what brings it into manifestation. And I want to make very clear that nobody has to go out and lose everything. You don't have to. There are too many people who've already done that for you. Yeshua did it for you. Many of the saints have done that for you. So many, many people who have served the whole of their life out, helping others, having nothing for themselves, they've done it for you. You just have to get to the point where your faith kicks in. That's what it takes. Your faith has to kick in. And the webinar that Yeshua sent through me that I transmitted on to you before Christmas is called Restoring the Faithful Heart. You can have all the love in your heart, but without faith, that love will be expressed more as affection or admiration or just caring for somebody or good wishes or, well, all the other things we associate with love. It will not take on its full power without faith. It just won't do it without faith.
Right. That's the miracle.
Faith is the miracle. It's the bringer of, I would say love is the energy of miracles. Faith is the receiving of the miracles. You see, Yeshua could be in front of a dying person or at least a sick person. He could extend his hands, his arms, look with grace upon them and say, rise up and stand. And they're not going to rise up and stand because they haven't received it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, those who have faith will receive.
Thank you.
And I think there's never a more suitable day of the year to remind everyone of that, because it was his faith that brought him back from the dead. His faith that was total. His faith was absolute. His faith was 100%. And he rose from the dead. And he demonstrated for us the power of faith. So no,
yep.
You don't have to carry it that far. But
right.
There are
I definitely would recommend everybody to reread Recovering the Authentic Self if they have the Keys of Yeshua, especially for this day, because it's, you know, really is very, 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 very powerful. And
it is.
It's way beyond
it
thought, you know.
It reinforces the idea that our recovery of the true self is a subtractive process, not an additive process. Don't go buy more things. Don't go, you know, thinking you have to trek to the high Himalayas to find yourself. You don't. It's a subtractive self. It's taking away everything you don't utterly need. But you don't have to go all the way. You don't have to live in poverty and absence of all the things you love. You can enjoy all the things you love, but you know, like the old common saying goes, the best things in life are free. So, and most especially yourself, which is the very best thing in your, the very best thing in your life is your authentic self, and it's free because it was your gift.
Kiss the day, Glenda. Keep it simple, right?
You bet. Absolutely. Okay.
Well, blessings to you, and Yeshua's blessings flowing over, through you, in you, around you, and for you. So, I love you.
Thank you. Love you too. All right, let's take someone else. Hi, Tony. It's your turn.
Hi, Glenda. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing everything that you're doing. It is, and this beautiful call. I really want to say thank you to Nancy and Gary. What Nancy was just speaking, I think, is so so valuable because of extraordinary insight that Yeshua and you have helped to deliver through these works is just something astounding. I had never come across, and I don't know that it exists anywhere, the explanation that Yeshua gives in chapter 15 of Love Without End about the real reason that he made his sacrifice and that it's such an important gift. It's a gift that helps us to let go of separation and rejoin to the true estate of our connection and communion with God. I mean, that was just, to me, it was a huge, huge revelation. And it puts the resurrection in so much clearer of a context. So I just want to echo what Nancy was saying, and I just want to express my own very, very deep appreciation for what has been revealed. You were mentioning earlier that the quote, which I absolutely love, from the Bible, where Jesus says, "All of these things that I've done, you will also do." And then I love what you added. You said, "When you're ready." Well, I feel that what Yeshua must have sensed is not only your readiness, Glenda, but the readiness of everyone connected with you and connected with these works and present and connected throughout our world. Every son and daughter of God who was ready to hear the revelation of the real nature of what Jesus' life and presence and teaching is truly about. And he says, I wasn't looking for people to elevate me, right? He kind of says, worshiping is not really the thing that I was after, but I knew that if people recognized the gift, I was hoping that they would find and appreciate the gift. Because if they got the gift, then eventually they would also connect with the giver. And that is so beautiful, and it's so much the essence of his presence that comes through in all of this. So, you know, thank you, Fred. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's beautiful, Tony. And yes, even as the presence of God incarnate on earth, he had no ego. And I would say that probably would be an essential criteria for being the presence of God on earth. But no, his life was not at all about ritual. It was about helping us to find and discover all that we are.
Yeah.
And I also, as you were speaking, Tony, I was just extrapolating on your words of when people in our group are ready, and then in larger and larger groups are ready, and humanity is moving in that direction. What came to me is something I've never actually thought about before, but I don't think it has to be everybody. I think it has to be enough everybody's that we cross the line of the 100th monkey syndrome, where enough in the collective consciousness takes a step up, a higher step up. And then once it's illustrated to the remainder of the members of the community, well, they'll start washing their sweet potatoes also. So, I don't think for that initial visible, awesome transformation to happen that we have to have 10 billion people all engaged. Probably would be, we'd be waiting for another million years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've got another million years on this planet unless we go up to a higher level. You know, it's not going to sustain us at this level. We're wearing it thin at this level. We've got to take a step up. We've got to take a step up. And I don't think it will take that many people. Really, worldwide, maybe only a few million to be ready. And we're virtually there.
Mm-hmm.
We really are. Once the transformation happens.
You know, it only makes sense that we are, because look at everything that's going on. I mean, the challenges and the revelations, both looking at everything that's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're collecting a lot of, I think a lot of souls were harvested into a state of readiness last year.
Mm.
And sometimes the greatest work of God is going on right in the middle of the greatest hardships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Tony. Well, thank you for the conversation. That was great. And
thank you.
As always. As always.
You bet.
And we have, I think, another Elizabeth. Or, no. Yes?
Hi, Glenda. Just thank you for this beautiful message that you started with, and your talk with Tony then, and the wisdom that comes through that just elevates me, and I'm sure elevates everyone who's listening to your words right now. I would just like to ask for a blessing for my sister Virginia, to just give her support in a very trying time that she's having right now. And for a friend who passed over very suddenly yesterday afternoon, his name is Neil Unger. And I just heard that he had passed, which was a shock to everybody because we didn't even know he was anywhere close to that situation. So if we could just pray for his spirit to find its way home and that he goes with ease and grace, and that his family and everyone around are comforted in this time of just shock. It's a shock that he's gone.
Yeah.
And just blessings for you and who you are to keep going through all that's happened to you this year. And you're just here every Sunday, and it means the world to me that you're here.
It does to me too. It does to me too. I wouldn't want to be any other place.
No. Thank you so much.
And God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.
And all those you love.
Thank you so much, Glenda.
All right, Christopher, you're on.
Hey, everybody. Happy Easter. I'm laying in the
Thank
sun
you.
Surrounded by all this grass and wildflowers. I feel blessed. So I wanted to just bring a big celebration of gratitude. Last week I shared a very vulnerable prayer, and Glenda, I felt your presence with me, praying with me throughout the week, and I know that it was true. So thank you. And thank you, Jesus, for your help. I can't go into the whole story, but it was a miraculous turnaround. I mean,
right.
Truly miraculous. The way that he came to me to re-educate me and help me see things differently. He reminded me that when you, like it says in Love Without End, when you want to heal, you don't focus on the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to think, well, what are the strong parts? And, you know, I started to ask these questions. Where can I put my attention that would allow me to move in a more proactive direction?
Very good.
Instantly, question. I mean, instantly, Glenda, the doors opened.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I needed came. And I'm talking literal things, literal offerings and pathways. So I just want to say it for everyone. This really works. And I'm just so grateful. I feel a complete turnaround. And to the point where I woke up this Easter and my feeling of resurrection for myself was that I didn't feel myself there. I felt my desire to love everyone. I felt the pain of others, and I felt the desire to help them and pray for them. And I said, wow, this is an amazing blessing to wake up feeling this way, to feel that I just, my heart is turning towards the service of others and away from my own self. With that said, there is one blessing I would ask for myself, which is that, you know, several years ago, the place where I lived burned the community that I was a part of. The whole entire retreat center where I taught was burned to the ground, the house that I lived in. And ever since then, it's been a freaking amazing adventure, but also very trying and vulnerable. And I feel like I'm closing in on just being able possibly to settle down somewhere. I've been so just taken on a journey and traumatized by the whole thing. I haven't been able to settle down anywhere for any length of time. And so I'm having a prayer today that I get that clarity and that the perfect situation becomes available. I feel it's coming. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
You're
thank you.
Very, very and, welcome. And one prayer that I have found works almost instantly. I believe that all prayers are heard. Some prayers, the answer to some prayers, however, has to work through the infrastructure of other people's lives, or availability of the season, or availability of just life moving around a little bit. You know, like mm-hmm. changing the wheel on a kaleidoscope in order to move things around to where you can get the answer to your prayer. But mm-hmm. one prayer I have found works virtually instantly is to pray for understanding.
Mm. Yeah.
I believe you did that.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing to come off of that trail after doing that prayer and have the doors flung open in my heart and in the world.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's a wonderful, wonderful tribute to faith and the purity of your heart. Okay, oh. I'm going to move on and open the line to a few more people. But, Christopher, we love you, and you're on our blessing list.
Oh, one more thing, Glenda. I can't wait till we get to do till I get to meet you and we get to do the Christ Blessing Giver class again.
I can't either. We've got right now. We're still dealing with permissions. You know, permissions to travel and to congregate, and so I don't want to do a seminar just for 10 people. but I think. As we move into the spring, everything's going to change.
Yeah.
And we'll work together. All right. All right.
Much love.
Let's get around this list here. Move on, move on. Susan, you're on. Happy Easter to you.
Hi, Glenda. I just want to wish you a happy Easter along with the community, and thanks for everyone who's on and those especially who have come forth and shared. I appreciate that so, so much. I just want to share something that happened. All of a sudden, things are changing with my son, Matthew, and he may be moving, so I just want to put a prayer in for him and his, you know, of course, his name is Matthew, but he owns a piece of property, and it's a condo that he's had, and we've realized that maybe it wasn't the smartest idea to hold on to it, you know, because he had got it at the time when things were just, you know, before the real estate market broke, and so he was hoping it would come back, and he rented it. In any event, he rented it to this man named Doug, and, you know, he decided he wants to sell it. And Doug, Doug has paid his rent regularly, but Matthew felt he should go talk to him and explain to him and, you know, explain that he would help him with moving costs, and he would give him the 2 months because his lease is up and so forth. And the apartment was in real serious disarray. So he came to my house after Matthew, just about in tears. And it turns out that Doug is a serious, you know, alcoholic. And he wasn't 7 years ago. And Matthew recounted, and Matthew was like kind of growing up with my husband, who was very, way too focused on material. You know, one extreme is as crummy as the other. But he said, Ma, he was so worked up, he said, you know, I talked to him, I said, he had said to this guy, Doug, he says, you're not the man I rented to 7 years ago. And he started to, you know, tell him this and that, and Doug's head was down. He goes, I'm really sorry, you were good, you're a good landlord, you didn't deserve it. And Matthew just said, do not worry. He said, everything in this apartment can be fixed except a broken heart. And at that point when he came to me, my son, and hugged me over it, I said, oh, my God. You know, that's such a different tact for my, you know, my son, such an elevated tact. And
oh, wow.
I just, I was blown away. And he's kind of recounted him something from Shawshank Redemption, which reminds me of everything you always say. If you get on with the living, he said to him, because he has a beautiful view. This apartment was given to him, totally renovated and beautiful, and this beautiful view of the mountains. Just look out there, Doug. What do you see? He says, it's a beautiful view. He says, you go with the living or you go dying. You know, he didn't use yours, but it was the same thing. Then he took it from Shawshank Redemption. He says, you need some help, and you got to get it, and so forth. But he felt so good about himself, and I felt so good about him. And, of course, I started crying. I do 12 steps for 46 years, and he stopped going to his meetings and all. So I've been praying, and I want to put prayers for this man, Doug, and for my son who wants to make some changes. And such gratitude. I keep thinking, well, one of my kids are going to carry on the work I'm doing? And all of a sudden, that came so to me as we were on the call. I said, they will. They know what you value, and they will. And I just want to, share all that. And the fact that you were talking about the 100th monkey, I believe in that. And we are on the verge of major. I see it in
I do too.
I see it. I do see it. I see a glimpse of it.
I do too.
You do too.
I do too.
Of course. Uh-huh. Of course. So we're on our way with that. And I just want to thank you and thank everyone. And certainly God, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua. It's just marvelous. Thank you.
That's great. Well, blessings to you, my dear. And you're doing great work. A tribute to all of us.
Thank you.
That as a community, we're bringing out the best in each other. And that's lovely for me to see. Well, we need to take on other people on our call. So have a great week, Susan.
Thank you, sweetheart. Love you.
I love you too. Wayne, you are on.
Aloha, Glenda.
Aloha and love to you on this special day.
Happy Easter to everyone, and what a great call. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Doing such good work in the world, Glenda. I mean, everyone who's spoken is just doing such good work in the world. And I have a request. There's a man, an elder on Maui. His name is Phil, who has got cancer. And I just thought a blessing for him would be apropos for today. And the other thing is I want to gift everyone in this community with the anthem that I wrote with Jeshua to the Holy Spirit in the 90s. And I brought it to the very first anointing of the first ministers for Spiritus Sancti in 2003, if you recall.
I remember.
The song, Messenger's Prayer. Well, I put it in your box a month ago and realized that you have been through so much, you probably missed it. So I sent it to your Gmail address again today.
Did you send it to glendagreen@gmail.com?
I did. And it's a forward from the previous. Because this, we had every single 21 of the ministers in the first anointing were all singing this while we were waiting for the bishops to come back into the room after their dressing episode.
Yeah, I remember that day, and they looked so great.
Yeah, and so, I don't know if you recall the story or not, but Yeshua and I wrote this song, Messenger's Prayer, 5 years before that anointing. And I didn't know what that song was about till I was standing there singing it with the first 21 ministers that you guys ordained in April of 2003.
That is great.
We made a huge production of it with exclusive.
Well, that was a huge event in the history of the church because we're bringing back the original church. Not that it ever disappeared, but it was kind of put behind the curtains.
so that the right. ceremonial church could take its place. You know.
Right, right. Yeah, that I know. I'll never forget that, and I forget most everything.
Well,
it made a good impression on me. Yeah.
Wayne, is there another blessing you would like to ask for?
Well, I just want to thank Tony for what he said, because this is what I'm offering you guys. This is a gift, bar none, where you can sing in the shower every day and empower your connection with the Holy Spirit and Yeshua. And it's completely free. So if you're ready to receive, you know, if you can't dig it out, Glenda, have Tony or somebody do it. But
we'll do it. We'll dig it. We'll find it.
It's completely free. Yeah.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Yeah, it's my blessing to the community here. And God bless all of you.
I will. I'm sure I can send it to our blessing community, all of you who are on the blessing list.
Yeah, the blessing givers will eat it up like puppies the fresh milk, because it's just it's a devotional between us and, you know, delivering the message of Yeshua.
Well, thank you, Wayne, and everybody. You just got an Easter present, and it's wonderful.
Yay!
It's wonderful. Okay.
Yes, cool.
Well,
I
would play it here now, except it has to be set up. So. We'll think about that.
I am filled with courage to share our love. Our lives are one. My heart is opening the way through the truth and the light. You walk with me everywhere I go. You carry me through the emptiness, filling me with your gentle grace, showing me how to love.
I remember it well. It's beautiful. Okay. Well, Wayne, blessings to you. And many happy returns
too,
of the Easter day.
Love you, Glenda.
Love you, too. Julie, you're on.
Yes, I'm here, and happy Easter to you and everyone, and you know, the most wonderful day in the whole year. My favorite day. I have a comment with a question, then a comment. My comment is when you were sharing about faith, and you talked about, I think you used the word receiving, it reminded me many, many years ago, a significant event for me in my spiritual growth and development was a minister, a unity minister, Reverend Wolpert, who I had what some people would refer to as the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When he would pray for people, they would have an experience of the Holy Spirit, sometimes so significant they would kind of almost look like pass out, that kind of thing. And so it's just not common. You don't see that a lot in the Unity Church. And it was early, early on in my spiritual awakening. And at that time, I knew there was a God, but I didn't really know God. And as a result of that experience of being prayed for in that way, I knew God. I had an experience, and now I knew God. And the way he had explained it is he said, well, if you came to my house and I knew you were coming, and I said, well, just walk in and make yourself at home, and, you know, there's some cookies there, et cetera, but I was in the back, you would be in my house, but you wouldn't have received me, and I wouldn't have received you until I came into the room. And that was kind of his example or analogy of receiving the Holy Spirit, which I found very true. And so when you were talking about and you used the word receive, I thought it reminded me of that, and I thought, and here's my question. So maybe the thing with faith is to invite it in. And so that's kind of my comment question.
Your comment question. Well, I understand exactly where you're going on that, but I don't completely agree with it, because it's kind of cast it into something you acquire, something you add on. We move into our faith by letting go. And the only thing you invite in is yourself, knowing you need nothing else. You need nothing else but you and God. That's it.
And you don't need a ritual. You don't need a protocol. It doesn't have to be something that somebody has laid hands on you to do. It's where you get to the point of inner realization, deep, deep inner realization. I do like your analogy, though, of God being in the backyard. You're in his house, and he comes in, meets you, you meet him. Well, the power in that is one simple word, connection, connection. And so that's what receiving is. It's having the connection. It's buying the television set so you can connect with Netflix. It's the connection. Sometimes there are intermediate connections that we have to go through. We need to see what faith looks like in another person. We may need to read a few books. Read the Bible with an open mind and an open heart, not what the church has always taught you, but what you really, really see and read. Allow yourself just to be the basic person that you are, and you'll find that you really don't need anything other than faith. And that is the blessing of it. There's the blessing, because we think we need so many things to survive or to amplify our life. And really, with faith, we have it all. We have it all. So I hope I didn't alter what you were presenting to me. It's just, I didn't want you to think it's something you acquire.
No, I appreciate everything you said, and you know, kind of working off of that analogy, if you will, of receiving God and receiving each other, and in that connection, experiencing, you know, everything we need, and including our faith, or that would be, I guess, just an example of the faith. Was very, very helpful.
Exactly.
So I appreciate that. The other thing I just wanted to comment on was really the other sharing from everyone that called today has been so helpful to me at so many different levels. I appreciate that. And has definitely reignited my purpose as a blessing giver. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is awesome. That's a great gift right there.
Yes, it is. Thanks.
And you know, I hope you remember the seminar you were in, where the last exercise we go through is the experience of letting go of everything, the experience of dying. What are the various things you would feel? What are the various points of love you would feel in your last moments? There's a reason why that's the last exercise, because that's what actually activates your faith as a blessing giver, is to be in this place where you're willing and able to let go of everything. And then, of course, the final moment of the blessing, where you really do surrender into nothing, because it's in nothing where everything happens. That may sound like a contradiction, but it's not. It truly is. The entire universe came from nothing. And we, in order to allow things to reconfigure in a better, more harmonious, constructive way, we have to fall into nothing so that the emptiness, the void, can be filled with a new something. So the blessing protocol was created it was created so that ordinary humans like me could effectively convey the energy of Yeshua and the Holy Spirit and create an openness, an opening, and an openness for the receiver to really receive. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, I appreciate that. I've definitely felt that. Had that experience, but just hearing you share and talk about it again really just helps me go even more deeply and profoundly, and particularly in an experience of love. So thanks so much. I so appreciate
it. You're welcome. I keep growing in it also. And I have talked, I have talks with the boss every now and then about this. Like, did I really do that right? He said, did you do it in faith? I said, yeah, I did in faith. You did it right. he never complicates things. Never, ever. No matter what I do wrong, if I do something wrong, he just says, forgive yourself, ask forgiveness of others, and get on with things. He never, ever complicates things. Ever. That's one thing I can tell you, that if you met him on the earth plane wearing blue jeans, that's what it would be like. He would be one of these fellows that just walks with you and shares life and never takes the complicated viewpoint. It's just like, oh, you come away thinking, could it really be that easy? Yeah, it really is. When you're walking with God, it really is that easy. Okay. Well, Julie, it's been great talking to you, but we've got a couple more people we want to take on, and we're late in getting into our blessing.
Beautiful. So, thank you.
Happy Easter to you, and all the blessings that you can receive.
Thank you.
Eva, do you have a blessing to ask for?
I do. This is Eva. And I appreciate this call. Everybody has been so wonderful. And so thank you for that, everybody that's been on the call, and you, Glenda, for initiating all of this. My friend Clara is in the hospital. Clara is 94, and they discovered she has blood clots, one in her lung and some in her legs. And every time I talk to her, however, she talks about going home. But when I spoke to her yesterday, she said she talked again about going home. But when I asked her about, you know, is she getting up and walking? Oh, no, she says, I'm completely bedbound. But I think she has this wishful thinking. And, of course, I can't go to see her, which bothers me. I would love to, you know, be able to do that. But I really feel like she needs some blessings I don't know whether she'll get healing, with all of this or not and get back home or not. But whatever is the highest good for her, I would appreciate if we could all send her those blessings. And let God work that out with her.
Tell her she's very loved.
And give her peace. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And blessings to you.
Thank you.
All right. Last and most special, Stormy, to give us our benediction. Hello, Stormy, and very, very happy Easter to you.
Yes, Glenda. Yesterday, as a receiver, I tuned in again to the soul of humanity, and to amplify what you said about Easter, I noticed that this Easter is most unique and special in a way that we have never seen before. And at the same time, this also reminds me of the original Easter, to complement what you had to say about going back.
That's lovely.
Bless you.
Bless you too, Stormy. And thank you for being here. Well, everybody, let's get ready to receive. All right? Now, just relax. That's the first act of receiving, is just relax. Let down your defenses. Let down your barriers. Take off your coat of arms, your shields. Just drop the curtains and be there in the light. Imagine a great light within yourself. And then extend that light around you, into the whole room around you until it's lighted. And it's just totally okay to see it as etheric light, which sometimes is too fragile to be seen in a material environment. But you know it's there because you can feel it. It is light.
extend it out around your home or wherever you are. Some of you may actually be outside. And if you are, catch the sunlight and send it into dark places. That light is where we dwell. In the light of being, in the light of spirit, and in the light of God. Now take a deep breath and hold it for just a few extra seconds. And feel your lungs expand with the power of love. Hold in your lungs the power of love. Exhale and give that love back to the world. Inhale again and feel the love of God. Expand your lungs fully. Then give it back to the world. Inhale and feel the love of Christ. Expand your lungs fully. And then give that back to the world. Fill your whole body with the light of the Holy Spirit. See every cell in your body illuminated. And now exhale from your lungs and give that light to the world. Now just relax in peace with no body parts crossed, because we're going to be flowing energy through your body. We don't want it to shift from right to left and back from right to left and so forth. We want it to flow straight from heaven to earth and back from earth to heaven. I will say my welcome to Yeshua. And then the blessing givers and I will conduct this sacred energy. While you are praying your prayer, that prayer being the essence of your receiving and everything you would wish to receive for yourself and for others. So let's begin. Dear Yeshua, happy birthday. And your light is the light of the world. Your immortality is our immortality. Your love amplifies our love to the point where we can give it unconditionally to the world around us and to all of those special people that have come into our lives. We thank you for all the blessings of love. We thank you for the blessing of your life, of your magnificent gift, of your eternal life, through which you can keep your promise that you will be with us always. And that you can be with me and a young child in India or another elderly person in Norway or a couple in Australia or children in South Africa, all around the world, wherever we are, you are, because you gave your life to us. How magnificent is the gift. And we are here today to celebrate that gift as the gift of new life, new hope, and eternal faith. From these things, we learn about the miracle of life. And we come today together as one to receive your gift to us. Your gifts of healing, of hope, of opportunity, and of sharing of love and community. And we give you all of our love. We know that you will take our gifts of love and multiply them to fill the essence of our prayer. And in the spirit we say, Amen. In your holy name, we say, Amen.
Blessing givers, will you join me? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's up to you to continue receiving. So start the process by resting at least 7 minutes. Become a blank slate upon which the Spirit of God can write. Happy Easter, and I wish you a wonderful week. Looking forward to being back with you next week. Bye-bye for now.